Good to have each one of you today. Praise the Lord. Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies. As soon as you get through shaking hands with somebody and hugging their neck or whatever you're doing, we're grateful that you're here. And we, as I've told you many times, Cheryl and I, we spend a lot of time. Usually it's in the late hours of the evening and into the wee hours of the morning, praying for people over the internet. You know, I never dreamed we'd ever have such a thing to do, but we can lay there in the bed and pray over people. And it's amazing what God does for people that we pray for. And so she's got a couple of testimonies, and let her read these.
Yes, this was from an email. Dear Thurman and Cheryl, I've emailed you regarding my dad, Rahab Pitikala, prostate cancer, to pray for him. I thank you for your prayers. My dad got discharged from the hospital on December 24th after you have prayed. I believe with faith my dad doesn't need any chemo for the prostate cancer and his kidneys will function normally. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your prayers. May God bless you. I thank you for your teaching us the kingdom principles. Please teach us more. We are hungry for God. I've enclosed my Thanksgiving offering to your ministry. Love you all. Take care. Grace Matthew. Thanks, Georgia.
Can you think of anything? Yes. Can you think of anything better to do than laying in bed with your wife praying and get that kind of results?
I know.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, we can just be laying there. Cheryl can have her pillow kicked up there and have her head, have her head raised up on it so she can see the computer and
the little iPad,
and we just and she reads everything, and then we decide what we're going to do, and we pray and stand on God's word and get to see this kind of result. Is just, it's out of this world. I can't think of it. There's not anything better. Wow, I just can't think
praise
of anything
Lord.
Better to do than to love Jesus and see him do the things that only he can do.
That's right, because this particular man, when she emailed us, his kidneys had stopped working, and you know he had the cancer, and they just said everything was bad, and then after we prayed, they released him like within a couple of days.
So, yeah, praise
God's good.
The Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. All right, here's another one. This came from Minister Alexandria Gibson. She said, "Hi, Pastor Thurman. I'm so glad that you were able to minister to my parents today," and he was also a pastor. "They were Manuel and Wanda Morgan from Mississippi." That was like a week ago.
Yeah, a couple.
"Thank
yeah.
you, Jesus. You prayed for me months ago because of a cyst that was on my brain. You remitted my parents and my sins to Jesus Christ, and I was instantly healed." Woo! Praise the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was born with that cyst on her brain.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord. Well, as we said, we're in our last Sunday of Christmas, so tomorrow we get to tear the Christmas tree down and take all the decorations down, but I wanted to let you know how our 16th annual Christ Haven for Children benefit has gone so far. We've raised a total of $145,085. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And we've given gifts to children, teen moms, elderly, homeless, and the Grace Family gifts, a total of 8,585 gifts. You can clap for that one, too. I shop for most of those, along with Candace out there. Okay, and then we also started helping the homeless ministry for Mo Powers over there. Wave your hand, Mo, so people know who you are. If you have any coats, blankets, shoes, gloves, clothes, anything, he's helping the homeless down in Dallas. So far, we've actually given $17,881 of 327 coats, 415 hats and gloves, 20 scarves, 11 shoes, 23 sweatpants, 1 sweatshirt, 262 blankets, and 155 pair of socks. So 1,214 items for the homeless.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we could not have done that without all of y'all's help and your love and your gifts. And so if you want to continue, and it's totally up to y'all, because as I have extra money, I do things on my own. But if you want to continue to help with the homeless, because like you know, it's going to be 16 degrees on Tuesday. And if I was living under a bridge in or out of a tent, I would not be happy. if I wasn't in some kind of heat-provided source, I would hate it. I hate being cold. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like it.
I don't either, praise
and so
the Lord, yeah.
If you have any, when the first time we met Mo, right before Christmas, about the homeless ministry, he has a ministry called Precious Blood. And he told us about the police in Dallas had torn up a couple of the camps, and so people were scattered everywhere, and he was having to find people. And so, like, I went back, and I pulled five coats out of our closet and gave him nice coats. You know, we have too much anyway, you know. So, and yeah, I'm sure you do, too. So if you have coats, and I think I pulled out two or three blankets. So if you have extra blankets, he said he can never have enough blankets, right? And he even told me, because of some of the things I gave him, one, they were called throws. And he said, well, you know, I didn't know what a throw was until I passed this woman. I was going to breakfast to get coffee, and he said, this woman is lying on the floor, and, you know, on the ground. She's lying on the ground as he passes, and he threw a throw on her, and he said, now I know what a throw is. He said, yeah. But, you know, he's out there helping a lot of people, and Baron and Jenny are one of our prayer warriors. They've been going with him. They go down there real early, like 5:30 in the morning, and, you know, help all these people, and they need help. And actually, one girl, they're real close to getting her out of the street and to a drug rehab so she can go through withdrawal, you know, cleaning up, detox, yeah. So that's a really positive thing. But if you want to help with that, just be sure you write on your check or your offering Christmas or children, so I know it goes toward that, because I keep all that in one fund, and the rest of it goes into the church. So anyway, I want to thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I am so grateful to each and every one that gives money or your time or wraps gifts or, you know, you always help. You always help. And we love you, and we bless all of you.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord clearly said, you know, it's better to be able to give than to receive. I'd much rather be on the giving end than the receiving end. But I'm glad that we're on the end that can give. Because we, all of this, I will have to say, so we've done some checking here a while back about some of the ministries that are out there. And some of the ministries that are big ministries that are helping people. Big organizations, it's amazing how much of that money that you give goes to staff, you know, and that's I don't think that's the way it should be. I think that, you know, that the money we give should go to the people. And in this ministry, that's the way we do it. We don't keep a dime, you know, or nothing. Cheryl and I, we both work here in the ministry, we have never taken any salary for working in this ministry. I just tell you that we're both on Social Security. Everything we have is paid for, so we don't live very extravagantly, that's for sure. But we do have a nice little apartment, you might say, that we live in that's paid for, so I don't have to worry about that. But we have no expenses virtually. To think that, you know, that we can have a place to lay down at night, and it's nice and warm or cool in the summertime or whatever. And we can lay there and pray for people. And I couldn't even begin to tell you the praise reports that we've gotten back. You know, when Jesus, he made an awesome statement. And I know that most of us, in fact, for years, I didn't even know this scripture was in the Bible. And although I've been in church all of my life, it's amazing how you can read things. But there is a scripture that I love. It's in John 14:12. And I want us to turn to start off here on John 14:12. And I want you to see a little bit of today of what belongs to you as a Christian. Like Dave was talking about there a while ago, those of us that are Jesus children, Jesus freaks, I guess I could call us. You know, if we are a Jesus freak, which I am very muchly a Jesus freak, I believe in Jesus. You know, whenever I go anywhere to visit with somebody, if the people I'm going to visit, if they don't know but Jesus, then I don't have nothing to talk to them about. You know, if when I get there, if all they want to talk about the football game or the basketball game or whatever, I start talking about Jesus, and it's amazing how the room clears out. You know, those that don't want to talk about Jesus, they go talk. They find a like duckling somewhere, you know, that they can talk to. But I like to talk about Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
Well, the reason I like to talk about him, because there's some things he said I could do, and it took me a lot of years to realize that these things belong to me. But this scripture in John 14:12, I want Cheryl to read just that one verse in John 14:12, and I want us to meditate on that. Read it, honey.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
You know, that's just, if you're that person that Dave was talking about a while ago, that you're not the Jesus person, you're not in the right covenant, you'll never get this. You'll read this over and over and over and over, and you'll never get it. You'll never even, you'll never dream. But I can remember before I got a hold of this, how I used to, when I was working as an engineer or whatever, or when I was working with airplanes, you know, how much time I would spend trying to figure out something. You know, I mean, hours and days and things. I had an airplane in Korea one time, an F-105. They sent me over there to fix that airplane because I was a specialist on the F-105 when I was in the Air Force. And I couldn't find the problem. We worked for days, and it was cold in that hangar in Korea, in South Korea, in Osan. Now, it was cold. Couldn't find the problem. Finally, I happened to think, you know, Jesus made me some awesome promises in his word. I just wonder if those promises would work. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, you said that I can ask for anything. Because those next two verses, what does those next two verses say there? I want you to read those after John 14:12, when he says we can do the same thing, and not only the same thing, but greater things that he did. What does the next statement say?
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Read the next
one. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
You know, now that's a pretty, glory to God, you know, but that's in the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of us that are in the right covenant, the covenant of grace and mercy, if we're in that, you know, so I thought, Lord, you probably know exactly what's wrong with this airplane. I mean, I worked on it over in Japan, Tokyo, for days, and we thought we had it fixed, and then the airplane was flown to Osan for a mission. And while it was over there, this problem reoccurred. And so they sent me and a test tech rep over there, and we worked for days in this cold hangar trying to find this problem. And we can't find this problem. I mean, it'll do it sometimes, and sometimes it won't do it. So anyway, when I take one of those promises and say, Lord, you know, I don't know if you're going to answer my prayer. I didn't have no faith. But I said, Lord, if you could find it in your heart, would you kind of give me some idea of what's wrong with this so we could find this problem? I said, Lord, thank you for helping me out. You know, now I'm coming trembling before the Word of God because I'm not used to just saying I can come boldly into the throne room of God. But that's what he said.
Yes.
He said, my sons and my daughters, you know, if you need something, just come boldly into the throne room and ask me what you want.
Yes.
But we don't see it like that. Most of us are afraid to ask, and so just like I was. I finally asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need help fixing this airplane. It's obvious all the hours me and this tech rep have spent, we've not found the problem. We don't appear to be any closer now than we was when we started. I need some help fixing this airplane. You know what I mean, don't you, Mike? So I said, Lord, I need some help. And so I reached up after I prayed. I reached up and grabbed a plug where all the wires went into the rudder and the yaw damper system. And so I reached up, I grabbed it, and I kind of bent it a little bit sideways, just kind of twisted a little. And the rudder on the airplane knocked me off the airplane. It went, bam, 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 bam. And boy, the tech rep come running out from underneath the body and said, what did you do? And I said, well, I touched this plug right here and twisted it. He said, I think you just found the problem. And so he got up there, and he got a hold of that plug, and he twisted it a little bit, and it went, bam, 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 bam. He dug down in there and took the potting compound out of that thing. We found a little bitty piece of solder that had gone across, and we had a signal wire going into a power wire. And whenever that thing would twist just exactly right, that rudder would go crazy. And if you're flying an airplane trying to hit a target, and all of a sudden the nose starts all over the place, even 1 or 2 degrees back here, you can miss your target miles. And so anyway, everything has to be perfect and precise. Anyway, we dug that thing out of there, and he took that piece of solder and trimmed it off, and we repotted that plug, and they took that airplane out for a test fly, and it worked perfect. There is no telling how long I could have worked. But I happen to remember this awesome promise. I mean, I was raised in a Baptist church, and they didn't tell me these promises work. You know, but they do. I found out they do work. And so when I began to see this, I thought, wow. And then, you know, the enemy comes by and says, well, it was just a coincidence. I mean, but that's the way he works. You know, I mean, you don't think that he's God. You know, you didn't have no help from God just because you asked. God didn't help you do that. So, you know, if you're not real careful, you will lose what you just learned. And so you won't tell anybody because you'll think he'll tell you now. Don't you go out and don't you tell nobody that you prayed and asked Jesus to help you or asked the Father. Don't you dare tell anybody because they're going to think you're crazy. Do you know where I'm coming from? Now, why is this? Why is this that we have these promises and we don't believe them? In fact, I want Cheryl to read that scripture one more time from John 14, 12 through 14, 13 and 14. One more time, and I want you to look at it on the board as she reads it. And I want you to just one more time see what he really said right there.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. How many of us in this room believe in Jesus? Amen. Wow, that looks like all of us. So if we're all his children, then these promises is for you and me, right? Yes. I mean, okay, read on a little further. Keep on reading.
And greater works.
Wow.
And greater works. Back up one. He stopped me again. Okay. Well, I'll go over here. Okay. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever...
You know, not when you stop and meditate on that. Really, when you meditate on that a little while. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. So he's talking to you and me, right? Lord, if you're talking to me, and greater works than these that you've done shall I do. Greater works. And then the enemy's over saying, are you fooled? You don't think that's going to work. Now, when you start talking about greater, remember who you're talking about. Jesus. Remember, he's the one that raised the dead. He's the one that cast out demons. He's the one that done all these things. I mean... He did everything, and don't you dare think that you can do those kind of things. You're just an old person. You can't do that. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you what you'll hear. When you start trying to walk in obedience to God's word, and you read some of these powerful promises, like, greater works than these that I've done shall you do in my name. I mean... But, you know, it's going to be a battle. The reason I can say that, I can remember years ago this battle that was going on when I didn't understand at all what I was doing. And this battle, I would do something, or I would do a miracle, or in the name of Jesus, or I would, the Lord, I've even had the Lord speak to me one night and tell me when I first got started, in these things, and the Lord spoke to me and told me something to do, and it was, he spoke to me audibly. Now, I had not heard his voice very few times at this point, but when I heard this miracle, heard this talking, and I'm thinking about it, and so it encouraged me to go pray for a man in a hospital with terminal cancer. Terminal cancer. I mean, greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. But did Jesus heal the sick? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Right now? Something
right now.
Just...
Right now. My daughter just texted me. She said, hey, Mom, I'm in Colorado driving a steamboat with Eric. She's got a singing gig up there, and she wanted to let me know that Michelle is her sister-in-law's daughter. So Billy's the mother, and Michelle was born with kidney issues, but she's 43 years old. Her mother, Billy, her sister-in-law, gave Michelle a kidney, and so she only has this one kidney. Well, she went into She flatlined yesterday. They didn't think she'd make the night. Billy got there during the night at some time. So we did pray. Yeah, was it yesterday? I think it was. Yeah. Anyway, she said, wanted to let us know that Michelle is still alive but not responsive today. The doctors need to do dialysis. She's filling up from pneumonia, and her kidney is rejecting, the only kidney she has. Billy, the mother, knows it's in God's hands, but I told her we would keep praying, and she was very thankful. They're not going to do the dialysis until tonight or in the morning, but she's been hanging there. Thank you and love you.
Well, I think if this girl is only 43, she probably has not finished out her project with Jesus. And I think that, you know, that we should pray, don't you think?
Yes.
For
so
Michelle.
I'd like for everybody to be in agreement with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, for this girl, Michelle, this 43-year-old girl that's had a problem. She's obviously been under some kind of a curse to be born with a kidney or that doesn't work and then have a replacement, and now it's having problems. Father, I just want you to know that we're your sons and daughters, and we come to you on your promises where you said we could call unto you and we could ask you for anything and you will do it. So, Father, I thank you for giving us the power to remit sin and forgive sin. Lord, we forgive her sins. We don't even know what all they are, but we don't have to know. We just know that if we forgive her sins, that you will forgive them. So, Lord, we forgive her sins, all of them, and then we ask you to be merciful. We ask you to heal this girl. Yes, take the pneumonia away and make her perfect. Raise her up and do such a fantastic, awesome job of restoration of this 43-year-old woman that the doctors and nurses and everybody will be amazed at the recovery. But we know that you can do it, and we thank you for doing it. And you told us to come to you and ask anything, and you will do it. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you for healing Michelle. And, Lord, we just give you the praise and glory for all the things that you do. And we thank you for this magnificent word that you've given us, the Bible, the Word of God. And that how that you do such wonderful things, and you just told us that we, as your children, since we are Christ on the earth, that you will work through us and do greater works through us than you did through Jesus even. So, Lord, we thank you that we're your sons and daughters, and we thank you now for forgiving us, and we thank you for healing us. We thank you for healing Michelle, and we just give you all the praise and glory and honor for healing this girl and then using her mightily for your glory. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Now then, it said in the word, if just two or three agree in Matthew 18:19, and we're many. So how many are in agreement with this prayer?
Amen.
Okay, so Lord, you saw all of our hands as we pray, and it's amazing that Jesus makes us these awesome promises. Now then, my second question, he says we must pray with no doubt in our heart. I want to ask you, how many of you have no doubt that Jesus is going to do what he said? Okay, Lord, we pray. You said if just two of us can believe. So, Lord, we're here to agree that you are our God, you're our Lord, and there's nothing impossible with you. There's not even anything difficult for you. Everything is easy and is a piece of cake because you are God. Is that true?
Yes.
Ain't nothing hard for God. Nothing. It's just like that day that I started to tell you that story a while ago about that young man that had terminal cancer. I mean, I was a Southern Baptist. I was a deacon in the Baptist church, but I had never seen a healing or miracle of any significance at all in my life. And when I got to the hospital room where he was at, and the doctors had opened him up that day and looked inside of him, and he had stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of his body. And so when I walked up there and I asked his wife how he was doing, I heard the Lord say, just as clear, he said, "Son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him." Now, that's scripture. You know, at that time, I didn't really know that, but it's James 5:14, 15, and 16 is where that verse is actually found. And so whenever I prayed for her and I turned to walk off, I'm walking down the corridor of the hospital looking up saying, God, I know I heard you say, have him call the men of the church in prayer, and you'll heal him. I said, Lord, you must not have heard what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. Well, do you think God's hard hearing?
No.
Do you think he doesn't know what stage four lymphoma terminal cancer is? I mean, you can see where my faith was. And so, I can just hear the enemy. And when I got home that night and I began to look up these scriptures, I looked up a scripture about healing, and I come up on this wonderful, awesome promise of James 5, 14, 15, 16. Now, Cheryl's going to read that to you, too. And I want you to see, when the Lord told me, he said, son, have Ed call the men of the church to pray over him, I will heal him. Now, he confirmed that in his word, when he said in his word, in James 5, 14, 15, 16. What does that say, hon?
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
When I read that sitting there at home at my desk, I had never experienced this before in my life, but as I'm sitting there at my desk, I said, Lord, that's almost what I heard you say down there at the hospital. See, and down at the hospital, he said, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. I thought to myself, I said, Lord, I said, that's awesome. That's almost what I heard exactly. And then I heard this, clear as a bell. Oh, you've just read that verse before. It was in your subconscious. That wasn't really God talking to you. Now, who do you think that might have been? Oh, you think that might have been our good buddy, huh? He's not your good buddy, is he? But you see how he works. He will do everything. And you know what? Now I'm going to have to pull his chain just a little bit here, because I'm telling you, he's very good at what he does. I'm telling you, he is very good. And you know what about, I don't know what the percentage is here, but a great number of us Christians, that when we hear something like this, we will believe what the enemy says instead of what the Word of God says. Is that true? I mean, I think about Carrie. I love to tell her story. We just had a little encounter with this lovely lady, and they had some relatives in Florida, and she was in hospice. And so Carrie and her husband says, you know, we have sit here in Thurman's church. We've listened to him teach these principles over and over and over. Now we have a loved one down there in the hospital, and they said they can't live. So she said, I think we ought to go down there to Florida and lay hands on that woman and pray for her. Now they're going to buy a ticket to Florida. I mean, we know they've gone crazy. Is that right? I mean, we know you've gone crazy, girl, you know. But y'all bought the tickets and went to Florida. And, of course, I got so tickled when they got back. She said, I walked in that room where that lady was, and I looked at her and said, she was in hospice. I said, Thurman, beyond my wildest dreams, she looked worse than I even thought she was going to look. She looked awful. As soon as she looked and saw her, her countenance just failed. Her faith just went away. And all of a sudden, the master, he so loves her and her husband for what they were doing. He says, Carrie, remember, when Jesus went to Lazarus, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. It will be no problem. So Carrie and her husband laid hands on the woman and prayed for her and believed God, and then went and got on an airplane, come back home. And within a couple of days, she was out of the hospital, out visiting her neighbors and doing all kinds of things, and she was healed. Now, isn't that amazing? But just think, Jesus, just like Jesus told me that night over in Louisville, when he told me, he said, go lay hands on, or tell Ed to call the men of the church and lay hands on him and pray for him, and I will heal him. I heard an audible voice tell me to do that. But I almost yielded to the enemy. I was totally confused because, I mean, you got to realize I had no teaching. I mean, if I'd have had just one good pastor go over that scripture with me, just one, and say, Thurman, this works. Just like Kim and Scott, you know, they come out of the Catholic Church, and whenever they read Matthew 18:19, and I want you to look at this scripture. You know, I mean, they're intelligent people. He's a brilliant man. She's a brilliant woman. They got a good education. But when they read this Matthew 18:19, let me show you what.
Okay.
Number 16.
Do you want to read 16?
Let's just go back. We'll just stop right there on that one. Let's go back to Matthew 18:19. And I want you to see what Matthew 18:19 says.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Now then, I remember Kim saying, as a school teacher, a well-educated woman, coming out of the Catholic Church, saying, wouldn't it be nice if something like that really worked?
That's right.
Because, you know, I mean, nobody had ever taught you that.
No.
Now, here you are in church. It happened to be a Catholic church, but you got basically the same Bible, you know, and you're reading this, and just like we are, and you read this, and she thinks, Lord, it sure would be nice if something like that really worked. If just two of us could agree, I got a husband with me all the time, so we're two. If we could agree on anything, well, that could change our life, but it don't work. It don't work because they didn't know it worked, and they had never tried it in faith. So when they come to me, I told them, is it written in God's Word? And they said, yes. I said, then it works. If God says it, if two of you agree, it's done. Is that what he said, Carrie? I mean, after all, who's the liar here? Is it God?
No.
It can't be God. So we just don't. Our problem is we as human beings listen to the enemy more than we listen to God. I mean, is that true? I mean, so far, all these promises have been in the Bible, right? And we put them on the board, but they're in your Bible, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that told you to do this. And if you do it, and you do it in faith, it works every time.
Amen.
Now, like I told Mike's testimony yesterday, and I'll mention it again, how that Mike is right here has been a mechanic, and he works on cars and works less heavy stuff all the time. He had back trouble for years. I mean, really back troubles. And him and his wife started coming here, and I started teaching them the principles of the kingdom and saying that, you know, like that Matthew 18:19, it clearly says if just two of you on earth agree about anything, I'll do it for you. Did he not?
Amen.
So they were working on the bathroom trying to retexture it or something, and about noontime he's out. He says, honey, I'm gone. I can't do this no more. My back is killing me. I got to stop. She said, you know, Pastor Thurman keeps telling us that Matthew 18:19 works. So she said, why don't we use it? Not try it, let's do it. Let me pray for you, and let's me and you agree that you're healed in Jesus' name. And so his lovely bride of many years, she prayed the prayer of faith for him. And then they thanked the Lord, and Mike said, the minute they thanked the Lord for his healing, the pain went away in his back, and he's never had a back pain again since that day. Now, how many years had that promise been in there for them? At least 2,000 years had been written in Matthew 18. Well, it's there for all of us. You know, all we need to do is believe. You know, I mean, I was a Baptist myself, and I know what it is, you know, to have these promises and to read. I mean, there's nobody could sing that song better or louder than me, Standing on the Promises. I mean, I'm standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Woo, glory, sing. Somebody say, what promise is he standing on? I don't know. I don't have a clue. Have any of y'all been there like I have been? You've done that too? Isn't it awful how that we got a God and in fact, some of us, we ask them, do you believe you're saved? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they say, well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. I think so. You know, and you think, wow. And I just stand in awe that, in fact, I think it was Scott. I think he and I were talking, I believe it was him. The other day we were talking about somebody, and he was at a church somewhere. And there, he was talking to one of the deacons or elders or something, and he said something about, well, it's so wonderful to know that we're going to heaven when we die. The guy said, well, you know, nobody knows that yet. We won't really know that till the end. And I thought, well, this guy has not read the book. I mean, the book of John says, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life, and you have eternal life with the Father in Jesus' name. I know where I'm going. When I leave this place, there ain't no two ways about it. When I leave this place, I know where I'm going, don't you? I mean, if it's written in God's Word, you can stand on it. You can take it to the bank, you know, but you got to stand on His Word. But I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the last two verses. I want us to read these. I want Cheryl to read these two verses. The last two verses in 1 Corinthians 3. I want you to read those, honey, when we get there. I don't know what they are, what the verses are, but it's the last two in 1 Corinthians 3. 21? Okay, 21 and 22. What does it say? Oh, we hadn't got it on the board yet. First Corinthians 3, last two verses. Okay. Here we go.
Whether Paul or Apollos, or Cephas or the world, our life, our death, our things present, our things to come, all are yours.
Wait a minute now. Hold it just a minute. What did she just say? How many of these things belong to you? And what are these things?
Promises.
Keep reading. Read on to the end of the chapter.
All are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's.
And you are Christ.
Yes, you are Christ.
And you are Christ. In other words, as we are sons of God, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He moves into your body.
Amen.
And you become a recreated, brand new child of God. The old man is supposed to die and go away. Sometimes he don't go away real easy. You're supposed to be baptized. And of course, you know, sometimes you baptize him like Romans says, and you get rid of that old man, but only if you hold him down long enough. Y'all will understand what I mean. Some of you, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you think you can still do the same old junky things you've been doing all this time, and that ain't the way you're supposed to be. You're supposed to become a new creature. Oh, and the rules. There's rules. There is rules. Wow, and it's wonderful. The rules are good. They're for your benefit.
Yes, amen.
But just think, he says you're Christ. Read back up one verse before that, the last three verses. Read the last three verses one
so
more time.
21?
Yeah.
You want the one before 22?
Yeah.
Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Now, wait a minute. Still, I want us to meditate on that. How many things are yours? Well, what are all? Let's read a little further and see what he said. What's all include there?
Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, our life, our death, our things present, our things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's.
So what belongs to you?
Everything.
If everything belongs to me, and I am a child of God, and then he says, like that scripture we just read there a while ago in James 5:14, if somebody was sick and they wanted to be healed, that scripture clearly says that anybody that's sick, if there is, and here's something that really gets me, if there's any sick among us, is there any sick among you? There should be no sick among us. Is that true? Because if we are sick, and there's obviously, just like right now, I can guarantee you there's a lot of people out there that's Christians that have the flu. Right now.
Yeah.
Right now there's people that have the flu because they are Christians, they're good people, they believe the Word of God, they go to church, they have probably had good pastors, but they never heard the fact that they can take authority over that and pray for that, and that thing will go away. They never heard that. They never dreamed that they... If I tell them, you're Christ on the earth. You're crazy. Now, I'm not Christ on the earth. Well, according to the Word, you are. Is that right? You're Christ on this earth. And a few things belong to us. Now, wait a minute, brother. That's got to be a misprint. It's in the book. It's in your book, too? My goodness. Okay, if it's in his book and it's in my book, we must be on good ground, huh, Mike?
Amen.
If all things belong to me, what could you do if you really believed all things belong to you?
Wow.
That's right. If you only believed it. In other words, if you believed that you could pray for anything. Anything. Now then, just like Cheryl and me the other night for Christmas, maybe it's her daughter, gave her some earrings, and she was sitting there in front of the mirror in the bathroom looking at her earrings, and since she decides to come to bed and lay in bed a little while, we pray over a few people. So she comes and lays down in the bed and gets her little computer up there, little iPad or whatever you call that thing, and we're praying over people, and when we get through praying, she's flopped around a little bit there, a time or two, you know, and she gets up, and I don't know what time it was. It must be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, because we keep some late hours praying for these people, I will have to say. She gets up and goes in and looks at the kitchen in the bathroom window, the mirror, and one of her earrings is missing. Now, there's no doubt in my heart that we're going to find that earring. We hadn't found it yet, but we did pray. We asked the Lord to send an angel to bring it to us, and I know he's going to. Because I don't know when, but he's going to do it. I mean, I've seen those kind of things over and over. I know all things belong to me and Cheryl. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, he says we can ask for anything. So we asked for an angel to find that earring and bring it and lay it on the cabinet or something there where Cheryl can find it. And I know one day, we're going to walk in there, and we've looked all over. I mean, she's even changed the sheets and everything, washed everything. Yeah, she's done everything, but so far we have not found that. But one day, she's going to walk in there, and just like I know a friend of mine, he's now deceased, went on to be with Jesus, but he had a daughter that wore hard contact lens. Now, I don't know if you ever remember those or not, but they were a little bitty tiny lens, and they were hard, and his daughter was outside doing something in the spring, and her and her puppy was playing or something, and a puppy hit her in the eye and knocked that lens out of her eye out onto the grass somewhere in the backyard. The sprinkler system had come on, and it was running a little while. And so she went in and told her daddy. She said, "Daddy, I've lost a contact lens." He said, "Well, let's pray." So he asked the Lord, said, "Lord, send an angel to put that where we can find it, and we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name." And they go outside, and he gets a flashlight, and he lays the flashlight right on top of the grass, and he starts going across like this. And all of a sudden, way out there, he sees a little blip, a little light flicker. He said, "Oh, I bet that's it right yonder, honey." He said, she runs over there, and he holds a light on that area. And there is that hard contact lens sitting in a drop of water up on top of a leaf of grass, and she found that thing in the backyard. Now, a clear hard contact lens. You're going to find that on your own? You could tuck that, and you could... A manicured that yard and never found that contact lens. But God went and brought that lens and put it on that blade of grass, and she found it. Now, I mean, some of you in the room have had experiences similar to that, so you know that you can ask for anything. So when you go to your Heavenly Father and you ask Him for these things, it doesn't make any difference what you ask for. He said you could ask for anything. So don't limit Him. Because that's what we do. We listen to the enemy instead of listening to God's Word. We ought to be living our life based around the Word and with no apology to nobody. Like Paul said, "Hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ."
Amen.
And it's the power of God unto salvation. But it'll do a whole lot more than just save your soul, too. I mean, you can take that and he sent His Word to heal us. Just think, these promises that we just read there, that Cheryl just read, those promises are the world, everything, the present, the future, Everything belongs to us.
Amen.
I mean, is that what it said?
Yes.
So then should we be stressed out over anything?
No.
No, if you need anything, what should you do? Ask the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, and He will answer. His promises are yes. How many times?
All the time.
All the time. So if God's promises are yes and amen every time, and I really get tickled at the number of times that I have laid hands on people, and a few times whenever they didn't even want me to, I've had a few people, you know, that, you know, say, "Can I pray for you?" And they say, "No." And so you think, wow, okay. Isn't that amazing? And I was down at the Home Depot here a while back, and there was a little lady, and she was checking me out. I was there by myself, and she was all distraught about something, having trouble on the keys. And I said, "Are you having trouble? Something wrong?" And she says, "My little daughter is sick. She's at home and sick, and I can't. They don't have nobody to fill in for the register, so I can't go home. So the babysitter's having to do the best she can, but I know she needs mother." I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Well, yes." I said, "Do you go to church?" She said, "Yes. Go to a certain church over here in Grapevine." And I said, "Well, that's great." I said, so what do you think about praying?" She said, "Well, I haven't done that yet." Now, isn't it amazing that we got this on? What should it be the first thing we should do? The first thing we should do is pray. And so I said, "Well, can I pray for your baby?" And she said, "Of course." So I prayed, and I rebuked the enemy. I broke the curse over the child and asked the Lord to heal the baby and all that stuff and thanked Him for doing it. And then I said, "I guarantee it's done. When you get home, your baby's going to be totally normal. I guarantee it." She said, "Sir, how do you know that?" I said, "Because I serve a living God, and His name is Jesus Christ." And He said, "I could have all these promises." And He said, "My promises are yes and amen every time, so I know it's going to work." She said, "I never met anybody that had the kind of faith you got." And I thought, what a shame. We ought to all have that kind of faith. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, God put the... Oh, I know what it was. He put those promises in there just for me and Bill. I don't think that's true. Do you, Bill? I think He put them in there for every one of us. Well, you act like that. So anyway, I prayed for the little child and did everything. And I was in there probably a month later. I was in there one day, and this same girl, she come running down the hallway, and she said, "Sir." I said, "Oh, hi, honey." I said, "What can I do for you?" She said, "I'm the lady that you prayed for my baby." "Oh, yeah." I said, "I remember that." She said, "I got home in the afternoon. She was running and playing like nothing happened." She said, "God answered your prayer." Then a little later, I was in Home Depot one day, and I see two boys with black shirts on that sit on the back, had a big white cross, and it says, "Jesus is Lord." And I thought, wow. So I saw these two boys over there, and they're getting some stuff. And I walked over there and walked up to them, and I said, "Hey, guys." One of them turned around. He said, "Hey," he said, "Thurman Scrivener." I said, "Do I know you?" And he said, "Well, I don't know that you know." I said, "I know you." And I said, "Well, what did I do?" He said, "I had a son, 5 years old, and he was having seizures." And said, "We'd had him to all kinds of doctors, and they've done all kinds of stuff. And I met you somewhere. I don't remember where it was I met him. But he said, my son was having a seizure, and you should come over there and lay your hands on that child." And said, "I repent for the sins of the fathers, and I rebuke everything here, break every curse over this child. Now I command these spirits of curse to leave this baby and never come back. I said, you will never have another seizure in Jesus' name." And he said, you turned to me and said, "I guarantee my son will never have another seizure." He said, "That's been, I forget how many months or years or whatever it was." He said, "He has never had another seizure." So he said, "When I saw God do what He did for my baby," he said, "my buddy and me decided that we would buy these shirts and have them made, and that we would go out with people in our church, elderly people especially, and any people that had a need, we would go help them for nothing. We would use our services to help them." Isn't God awesome? He's the one that told you could do these kind of things. I mean, if Jesus says we should do not only the same kind of works that He did, but greater things than these that He done, I think we ought to be about His business, don't you?
Amen.
Doing something for the kingdom of God. He has empowered us with His word to walk in love with everybody and to do great and mighty things.
Amen.
And they work, don't they, Scott?
They work.
They work. Mike, they work, don't they?
They work.
Every time. They work. The promises work. If the promises work, then why don't we use them more often? I mean, I think about this lady that I went to Houston and met her and her husband. They had both deceased in the last few years, but at one time they were a really great couple that pertained to healing. The Hunters. Have you ever know the Hunters? I met them personally, and in fact, they had a meeting down here at Arlington in this, whatever, one of the big buildings, and there was 10,000 people there that night, and I thought, well, I ain't going in there. I said, this is not, I don't like that big of meetings, and so I thought, well, I just won't go in there. So anyway, I heard later that he was going to have a meeting down close to Humble, Texas, down close to Houston, and they expected 1,000 people. I said, okay, I can handle 1,000. So I drove all the way down there. I could have went right here, but I'd had to fight the crowd with 10,000 people, and I don't like to do that. So that's why I'm not a football guy, because I would never walk or spend. I won't even go in a restaurant. I don't care how good it is. If they say you got an hour wait, you can forget it. I'm going somewhere else. I ain't going to wait. There ain't no food that good. I've had to walk across the street and eat a McDonald's for two. You know, I'm not going to sit there and wait for an hour to eat. I guess my patience just don't work very good like that. But anyway, this woman, she had two of the most wonderful testimonies I've ever heard. She said down there at their home base, which is close to Humble, or used to be, she said that a lady from England had a little grandson that was born without a hip. The bone was missing. And so she knew about them. So she took a prayer cloth, and send it to them and said, I want y'all to anoint this with oil and pray over it, and I'm going to put it on my grandson. And when I do, I know that Jesus is going to give my baby a brand new hip. Now, this takes faith. You got to learn this in a church that's teaching faith. So anyway, she sent it down there. And, of course, Francis said when they got this cloth, they got everybody in the staff, which we've done out here several times, get them all up here, and we all get together, and we all pray, and then we put it in an envelope and send it back to England. And she takes the envelope, takes the cloth out, and lays it on her baby and says, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So when it come time for the medicine, the type of medicine they have over there, whatever it is, you know, I can't think what I'm trying to say there. Yeah, some kind of, anyway. They took the little guy in for his appointment. And the doctor told her, the nurse, the x-ray, which she did, and she come back, and he looked at the x-ray, and he said, wrong child. This child is normal. This is a wrong child. She said, no, this is the right child. That's the child they brought in. He said, well, that's the child right there. You x-rayed that child? She said, yes, that's the child, and that's the x-ray. He said, that's impossible. You went and got the old one, said that child had no bone in his hip. There was no bone there. And said, it's all just soft skin. He couldn't walk or nothing, of course. But he said, it's just skin. So he said, it can't be the child. But she said, that's the child. So they took the child and x-rayed it one more time. And when they did, they looked in there. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that little child's leg. Frances told me that story herself. Now then, isn't it amazing what our God can do? In other words, he can do, when he says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine, he really means that. But I'm going to tell you, the only thing that limits God is you. You and me. I am the only, when I go somewhere to pray, the only limitation is me. It's not God, it's me. And if I don't have faith to believe, it ain't going to work. But I have to believe with no doubt in my heart. And if I can believe with no doubt in my heart, I can think of a few times in my life that I have prayed for somebody when I had no doubt in my heart. And I think about the miracles I've had the privilege to see. I mean, I stand in awe thinking about Johnny Brumfield. You know, whenever that man from Louisiana, you know, whenever I picked him up and he hadn't walked a step in 21 months. And doctors say he ain't never going to walk another step in his life. And I prayed for that guy. And I asked that guy, I said, do you believe, I said, John 14:13-14 says, and I quoted it. I said, do you believe it? He said, sir, I'm a Southern Baptist. If it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, well, that's the kind of faith God's looking for. So I prayed and I reached down and got him. I said, now stand up. And I raised him up. And as he come up, I said, now then walk. And he just, I could see the faith going away. So I had to jerk him, you know, to get him to take a step. And he took a step and he took another step and three steps. And Tommy took three steps. He turned loose of me and he's running around the podium. He runs to the back of the church and runs to the back. He's got both hands up in there screaming, God is awesome. But to tell you how dense we are, the man that Johnny worked for was a banker, and he owned some nursing homes down there in Louisiana. And his wife was at that meeting that night, and she saw Johnny get healed. Johnny worked for her husband, but he hadn't worked for him in 21 months because he can't walk. And so anyway, she got home that night. She said, honey, I saw a most awesome event tonight at church. I saw a man in a wheelchair get up and walk off. Yeah, sure you did. Wonder how much they paid him to do that. She said, no, you know this man. Well, he said, what do you mean I know him? She said, it was Johnny Brumfield. He said, now, wait a minute. The Johnny Brumfield that worked for me, the guy that the tree fell on 2 years ago? Yeah. You saw him walk? Yes, honey, I saw him get up out of that wheelchair. I saw him walk all, and run all over that building like nothing had ever happened. He said, is that preacher going to be there tomorrow night? She said, yeah, he's going to be here one more night. He said, I'm going to go give him 30 minutes. And so he came, and he spent 30 minutes, and he got up and walked out. He was one of those Dave just talked about who he was. Even what he had been taken away from him. He had no faith whatsoever. Wow. He saw a man that had worked for him for all these years. He saw this man walking and running and playing and walking right up to him and say, you know, boss, I'm healed. My legs work. Look at these, doc. Boss, they work. Yeah. And he's saying, I don't understand this, but I don't believe it. So, he, like I say, give me 30 minutes of faith. And then he got up and walked out of the place. And I've never seen him since. Never seen him. But Johnny, I've seen Johnny lots of times since then. In fact, he'll call me every once in a while. You know, when I used to be on TV, especially GLC, he'd call and say, Thurman, you telling my story today? I said, well, I don't know, Johnny. I said, I don't know what's on the TV, but I said, it could be. Why? He said, I've had three phone calls today, and people want to know, am I the Johnny Brumfield that got new? He said, they don't believe. I said, I know they don't, Johnny, I know. But isn't that a shame that here we are, the church of the living God, that we got all these promises that tells us what we can do. And then he says, everything is yours. Everything. And every promise I make you, I give it to you. And the answer to every one of these promises are yes and amen. Isn't that something? So what are we going to do about that? We're going to start believing the Word? And remember now, faith comes by what?
Hearing
the Word. So, and you know what? I was talking to one of the gentlemen here a few minutes ago, and he said, well, Thurman, I think the reason we have the problem we have is because too many people still watching the TV. He said, you know, if you come in and you watch TV all afternoon, and then you try to do something for Jesus, he said, if you're plugged in, I think he used the term, if you're plugged into the sewer pipe. Yeah, if you're plugged into the sewer pipe. That's about what comes over secular TV, isn't it? The sewer pipe. You won't never walk in God's anointing if you're plugged into the sewer pipe. God does want holy children. He don't want children plugged into the sewer pipe. And so that's what's wrong with us. So we're going to have to really make sure that we walk holy and obedient to His Word. These promises, just think, in that 1 Corinthians 3, all of those promises, all of those things that's there, the future, I mean today, the world, life and death. Did you hear what he said? Life and death. Something that Howard Pittman said as I meditated on these words, that came back to me, that word that he said when he was here. When he died and he's going through the veil, he kept hearing a voice saying, "Howard, just stop breathing and everything will be okay. Stop breathing." He said it was the most beautiful voice I ever heard in my life. He said it had to be God. But it wasn't. The great deceiver was trying to deceive a man that actually had already died in the flesh. His body was laying in a ambulance or whatever you want to call it. And he's hearing this voice, "Howard, just stop breathing. It's going to be okay. Just stop breathing." And I don't know if you remember hearing that, some of you that might have been there when we had him here when he spoke. He said, "Satan couldn't kill me until I gave him the legal right to kill me. Until I said, okay, I will yield and I'll stop breathing. Then he could kill me. But until I agreed with him, he could not take me out. Although he is the author of death. He could not take him out without your approval." Now, stop and think about that. The world is yours, life is yours, and death is yours. Isn't that something? But you know, I was talking to a doctor here a while back about this, and I was having a terrible day that day that I called him. I wasn't feeling well. I had a splitting pain in my body. My head was hurt. I just wasn't feeling good at all. And I called him and talked to him. As I talked to him, he said, "Thurman, you know why God does this to us?" I said, "I have no idea why." He said, "Because if you stayed like you were when you were 40, he said, "You felt great when you were 40, didn't you?" I said, "Oh, man. I mean, I could run and play and jump over the moon when I was 40 years of age. I mean, I didn't know no realms of time, distance, or speed. You know, I mean, I could walk, I could run, I could play. You know, I mean, just like my son. My son's 42 years old, and the other day, Tim, went on his 42nd birthday, after he come home from church on Sunday, he gets out there and gets his running shoes on, and in 9.5 hours, he ran 42 miles. Wow. Now, is that boy in good shape?
Yeah.
He's in good shape. 42 miles, that boy run in one afternoon in 9.5 hours.
Wow.
I mean, but when I talked to him, he said, "Oh, I know I could do it." I thought, you know, that's the great confession. I know I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to run, I told him, I said, "Well, the reason I didn't go with you, I didn't want to show you up." Lord, Lord. Now then, if I were to get out there and practice, if I were to exercise more, I could be like that 92-year-old guy that was over at the airport the other day. He was over there, and that guy's 92 years old, and he had just ran 5 miles.
Wow.
5 miles. And I thought, you know, this guy's in great shape. He said, "You have to do it every day. You have to run and exercise every day." Is that right, Baron?
Yes, sir.
If you don't exercise every day, you lose it. It don't take long to lose it, does it? That's what Tim said. That's why he said, "I got to stay with it all the time, Dad." But I thought, just think. The world is ours. And what this doctor was telling me, he said, the reason God did this is because we have to yield to death to die. When the enemy comes and tries to take us out, you got to agree with the enemy. He said, if you were like as good as you feel when you were 40 years old, he said, you would never give up. Never. Praise the Lord.
Thurman,
yes, sir?
Sorry to interrupt you, but can I ask a favor of faith from you and all the good folks here? I had a stroke 4 months ago, and I come 18 other miles to meet you because I believe in your ministry. I believe in Jesus, but I'm really struggling. And I ask if you'd pray for me again. God bless you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for completely restoring this boy's body from the top of his head. I remit every sin he has, every sin. I command every spirit to go away. I break every curse over him. And I thank you, Father, now for healing his body, reaching down from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and make everything in his body work like it's supposed to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you,
thank you, Lord. I'm healed.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm healed. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Wow, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just think of the promises that God gives us. And the book is full of them, isn't it? So if God's word is full of all these promises, I think that I don't care if you're a lady, a man, a husband, wife, whatever you are, when you're somewhere at your friend's house or whatever, the first thing that should be on our mind is, how can I pray and glorify Jesus today? So anything that anybody needs, a friend of yours, or even if they're just an acquaintance, don't get away without praying for somebody. If somebody, right now in the flu season, whenever so many people are sick, while you're there, say, can I lay hands on you? And the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, could I do that for you or your child or whatever? And some people will say no, you know, but most people will say yes, and they'll let you. And once you lay hands on them and pray for them and quote the Word of God, quote that verse, like Matthew and like Mark 16:18, that you should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you do that, then you leave Jesus where he can do whatever he wants to do. But who knows how he'll heal them, but he will heal them. He will answer your prayer. He loves you. He wants to train you and do great things, but he will answer your prayer. And so, anyway.
Huh? 8 after.
What, honey?
I said it's about 8 after. You were looking at me like that.
Oh, about 8 after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were asking.
Yeah. This week... Yeah, we got to talk. We'll deal with everybody one on one. Before we go away, I want my prayer team to stand up. We're going to start praying for people here. These people, the people that are standing, they are the ones that's the prayer team, and you're to go to them. I don't want anybody that's not on my prayer team praying for people, not here, because I understand the way spirits transfer. And I don't want somebody to go away sicker than it came. And sometimes they will do that. So these people don't have any evil spirits. They're clean. They're pure. They walk holy before God. They know who they are. And they get God to do great and wonderful things for you. And so we're going to close with the Word of God. And before we close, I want you to know that all the CDs and DVDs are all free. Take as many as you like. I don't care how many you take. Take them, listen to them, give them to your friends, whatever. If you do want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. If you don't, that's okay too. We still give you everything free. And so, but I guess, okay. So anyway, after we pray and close the service, we'll start praying for everybody. Father, I thank you and praise you for all these folks that have come to church today. I give you praise and glory and honor that you are the mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are a mighty God, Lord, a mighty God. And we're so grateful that you're our God. We're so grateful that you answer prayer and answer all of our prayers. And so we want to walk holy and obedient to your word so we can glorify you in all that we do. So we thank you. Thank you for all these folks that come today that need an answer to prayer, whether it be healing or whatever it is. Lord, we ask you to touch them, touch their lives, and may you touch everybody that come today. Touch everybody, heal everybody, and just use these people to do great things for your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for doing that, and we just give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.